This is it. This is what we're created for.
Can't wait to get down there! The Nords won't know what hit them!
Just remember, guys, this isn't another training run. Let's watch each other's backs down there.
What do you say, Rogue?
Let's be careful down there. We were bred to survive on New Earth, but that doesn't make us invulnerable. Good luck. I'll see you on the battlefield.
Welcome, Squawkstick Thargo everywhere, to a Thrillcast Extra as we go to the poisoned wastelands of New Earth to talk Rogue Trooper Redux, which is out today from Rebellion on many formats, Xbox, PS4, PC and Switch. And it's a delight on this special episode to welcome two people intimately involved in the creation of this game. Mr. Rich May.
Hello.
And Mr. Tim Jones.
Hello.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about this game, which is a redux. It's a redo of the game from 2007 that was very well received, I believe, Tim.
Yeah, it was. It was, I think, something you can legitimately refer to as a cult hit.
Right, okay.
I don't know that it blockbustered its way to the top of the charts at the time, but like, it certainly has a very loyal fan base who, I think, recognised the love that we all put into it, because obviously huge fans of Rogue Troop, having grown up with him and, you know, not literally, but reading the comics.
It's one of those things that it definitely... I've been talking to people at conventions and trade shows recently about the game, and some of the fans who've come up to me, they've been real original Rogue Trooper fans, and they're really happy with what we did with the property. Seeing it as a very faithful recreation of the original. But also, I've spoken to, you know, kids who picked it up out of a bargain bin 2 or 3 years after it was released, had no idea what it was, but it was, you know, their part of their childhood growing up. They tell me they loved the game, and I had one guy sort of getting emotional when he saw the big banner up there, and that was kind of surreal, really.
Okay, well let's talk a little bit about the original game first before we move on to the Redux, because you worked on it originally, didn't you, Rich?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the project, because it was the second time Rebellion had done a 2080 game. The first was Judge Dredd versus Death. This was a bit of a quantum leap on from there, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think as developers, we were sort of really finding our feet. I mean, certainly it was later in my career, so I knew much more about what I was doing as a gameplay programmer, which was what my role was back in the day. So I really sort of, I think I'd hit the ground running at the start of Rogue Trooper. I had a lot of ideas about how I wanted things to work, having experienced making Dredd versus Death. And that really helped to sort of inform where the game went.
Yeah, I mean, for my part, because I did the original game design along with Mike Burnham, who I was working with on that. And obviously, there was like a huge team of designers and everybody, and like Alex Moore, who was lead designer on the project, sort of embedded in the team. But the original concept came from us. And at the time, I think it was kind of like almost a golden age of third-person shooters, or third-person games in general, finding their feet. There were games like Prince of Persia, like, had come out at the time, that was like pushing boundaries of what you could do with animation and things. There were like great games from people like IO. There was a game called Freedom Fighters, which some people, like, you know, we remember well, but again, was probably one of those things that like has somewhat been lost in the mists of time, but was actually like kind of pretty revolutionary with some of the cool stuff it was doing. And a game called Kill Switch, which really pioneered some of the cover shooting mechanics, which obviously Gears of War leapt from, and I think they've cited it as well. But we looked at that and we were like, oh yes, this is actually much closer to what you would expect someone to be doing when they're shooting a weapon in a third person cinematic environment to what had previously been done, which was just, you know, in a much simpler way, just running around guns blazing.
Right. Let's dig down into that, because I'm not much of a gamer in terms of first person shooters. I'm much more do strategy stuff. So when you say cover mechanic, when you're talking about Gears of War, what are we talking about here? What was so special about
the way that Rogue Trooper did it.
So, I mean, before Rogue and Gears and Killswitch, which was one of the very first ones to do this kind of thing, your classic kind of third-person shooter gameplay was just running around in an area and maybe hide behind a barrel, but you wouldn't
But not by actually physically interacting with the barrel.
Right, okay. What Rogue and Killswitch and those games did was provide a mechanic which kind of allowed you to sort of press yourself against the cover, step out and shoot around it, allowing you to sort of use the cover in a much more tactical way than you could before.
Okay. And also, like, delivered that feeling that you get from watching TV shows, cop shows, and, like, shootouts and movies and things where, you know, people get their back up against the wall and then they pop out and shoot round the corner. Mm. And it was like, was something that you hadn't been able to do in games before. And just actually being able to do that just brings you much closer to the action.
Yeah, I mean, we were slightly later in the console hardware cycle as well, because the original Xbox had been around for a while. The PS2 was, like, you know, very mature by then. Mm. So people knew about the power of the machinery. So we could do a lot more with animations and that kind of thing. So really kind of push that level of interaction with the scenery, which wasn't there before.
Because I haven't played the demo of Redux at San Diego, where it was very well received by everybody. There's things like, you know, you crouch down behind something and you can fire over the top of it, which now seems to me like an obvious thing to do. But I mean, we're only talking 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, before
only
that.
10 years.
Only 10 years. A lifetime in games. I'm very old.
Yeah. Before that, you would have been able to sort of crouch and then stand up and do it, but it would have been a very sort of artificial feeling mechanic.
Right.
Whereas it feels much more natural.
Yeah. You take it for granted now, but, like, yeah, I think it still holds up. I mean, perhaps it's not as slick as some more, you know, modern interpretations of it.
Sure.
Because obviously everything, like, you know, games build on the shoulders of what's gone before.
Yeah.
But we've been able to, like, push it a little bit further than we did in the original game, in that the original game you didn't have, like, an aiming mode where, I mean, apart from using the sniper rifle, you were just kind of shooting from the hip a bit, except when you were in cover, and it was, you were quite sort of pulled away from the action. And modern games generally, you know, you expect to be able to hold the left trigger to aim in a bit closer, or at least pull the camera in, and that's something we've added in the Redux version, which really kind of brings another level of intimacy to the combat, which was, you know, when you look at the original game now, you kind of, it's still cool, but you miss that.
Yeah. It's funny, going back to the original, having played the Redux version, you definitely notice its absence. I mean, the controls have been slightly different, slightly changed since the original to facilitate this.
Mm.
So I still, when I play the new version, still try and press the controls from the old one.
Your muscle memory is terribly ingrained, isn't it?
But we've had conversations where I've come to Tim and said, I'm sure it was like this in the original. And it's turned out now that I've just been completely misremembering it. It was never like that.
Yeah. Well, we've gone through the same process on so many of, like, you know, the bug tracking QA process on the game. And it's like, a lot of the time, you know, a bug comes up and it's going, like, can we just double check whether that was in the original game or not?
Because bugs in the original game, Tim. No bugs in the original game.
Well, it turns out there might have been a few. Nothing major.
A shocking admission.
Nothing major. But when it comes to, like, polishing stuff, it's been really cool to actually go, like, oh, actually, that bug was in the original game.
Yeah.
And now we can fix it because we're going through another layer of, like, fixing stuff.
Sure.
It's, there's actually a shot in, like, one of the early cutscenes where, like, Gunner, your rifle, is actually, like, sort of intersecting with Gunner's leg as he lies prone on the ground, dying in a really obvious fashion. And I was, like, looking at that in the cutscene, like, the new version, going, like, it'd been reported as a bug. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to fix this. Like, yeah, there's no way that was in the original game. And it's like, it turns out, yes, it totally was. And I was like, oh, okay, well, yes. Just going to fix that.
Sure.
Which took a bit of jiggery-pokery, but it was worth it. And it's nice knowing that we've been able to put the extra spit and polish on things in addition to everything else we've done to it.
Expectations have changed in terms of what was acceptable, so...
Yeah, I think even then a gun poking through in a key dramatic scene wasn't totally acceptable.
Maybe,
however,
maybe.
It obviously went through QA at the time, and I can't remember anyone having pointed it out, and I've looked at it. We've all looked at it countless times and never noticed it because it's kind of a fleeting moment. But
moving on before we all get fired. Let's talk a little bit about the process of making a game, like the original game, because you've got a lot of history to Rogue Trooper, even if you stick to the core stories of the pursuit of the traitor general.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there. How did you go about picking out the bits that you wanted while fixing it, you know, making it a game that was playable, but keeping it as faithful? Because clearly you wanted it to be faithful as possible to the original.
Well, I think the very first part of that process back then was going through our archives of 2000 AD, through all the old Rogue Trooper comics, and sort of rereading them all and going, okay, right, is this what I remember from when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's awesome. Okay, we need to, like, summarize this story and, like, the key parts of it. There are so many parts of it which immediately do shout, gameplay!
You know,
obviously, shooting noughts, stealthing around, like, assassinating people, sniping stuff. Looking at, like, some of the key moments of when Helm and Bagman and Gunner, the things they bring to the party, whether it's just a plot device in a particular, like, five-page comic where they get out of trouble because, like, Gunner pops up on a tripod or whatever. It's like, well, that's cool. Let's make that a cool mechanic, you know, because I haven't seen that in a game before, and I'm not sure I've seen it in a game since yet. At least with your, I mean, obviously you get, like, turrets and sentry guns and things, but actually one that you carry around as, core part of your main gun.
I remember we had a whole bunch of additional mechanics. I think Helm had a bunch of additional abilities that, you know, riffed off of stuff we'd seen in the comics. Ultimately, we distilled that down to a kind of more focused set of features that we needed for the game, and that I think was beneficial. But there were still loads of things to choose from.
Yeah, I still remember, like, I think an example of one that didn't make it into the game, but I think we were certainly keen to explore for a long time, was BioWire.
Going to ask about that.
Yeah, we always, like, you know, it's an obvious thing to get in there, which is basically the sort of animated razor wire type stuff that would just like grab things, and it's just really mean and nasty. It would be a great environmental sort of threat boundary.
I
can tell you why we didn't put it. It's giving me nightmares just thinking about how you do it.
It would have been cool. It still would be cool, but it's not in the game, so don't go looking for it.
Get a bunch of other stuff in. You know, things like decapitators. They came straight out of the pages of the comic.
The hoppers and the vehicles and the train rides and everything, and you know, the core beats of the story there as well. I mean, it was great working with Gordon Rennie, who wrote the screenplay. Gameplay, screenplay. What is the word for a screenplay for a game? Is it just still a screenplay?
Game narrative?
Something like that.
He wrote the words.
Right, okay.
And it was good because, like, at the time, I was a little bit overwhelmed by, like, the scale of the story and everything in it. And at the time, like, I was just, like, not sure, particularly being quite trepidatious about something that held so dear as well, of, like, okay, how do we condense this down and be faithful to it? And I think it needs this and this and this. And, like, and there's this whole pivotal part of the story which happens sort of fairly early on, where Rogue goes up to Millicom, like the space station in orbit, and discovers a lot of, like, key plot points and things. And for one reason or another, we were like, I don't think we're going to be able to, like, do that in the game. And I was really worried about it, and, like, talking to Gordon Rennie, and he was just, oh, don't worry about that. Like, you know, well, I'll figure out a way to make it, you know, work. And and he did, in that, like, the story still totally worked, didn't require Rogue going back up into orbit and then back down again, which would have been, like, a whole bunch of levels of work which would have distracted from the main core of what we were doing. And end result is, like, anyone playing it, or even fans of the comic, probably wouldn't even notice its absence, because it's so well put together and so well thought out by Gordon, who obviously knows the IP inside out, and the character and everything. And it was really good just being able to work with a bona fide 2000 AD author on the game.
For those who are listening who don't necessarily know how a dev team works together and the relationship between the writer and the producers and the developers, explain a bit how that works on a game like Rogue Trooper. I mean, is this a top-down process or is it more of a collaborative thing?
Honestly, it varies from company to company and from game to game, and it's never quite the same way twice because every game has different needs. But in Rogue Trooper's case, we started with a concept fairly early on. We got Gordon Rennie involved so that he could start scripting it out. But we worked closely with him on letting him know what levels that we were planning in terms of the environments that we wanted to work through, the key beats of the story, the things that we had that we thought we could do in terms of narrative devices, whether they be, we can do this amount of cinematics. We think we can do some cool stuff with the dialogue from the biochips dynamically happening while you're playing. We reckon we can script that stuff up and make it happen in the right places and various other things. And so we kind of gave him that toolbox of things that we could work with. And he found a way to weave it into a coherent narrative that worked along the gameplay. And there was a lot of to and fro at points where it's like, oh, actually this isn't working in this level, or we've got a dead spot here, or people just aren't understanding what's going on here. And he'd either suggest some extra lines of dialogue, or maybe if we just rejig things a certain way, then it would work. And it was a really good process. I think he's, openly spoke highly about it being his best or his favourite experience of writing for a game, which is cool.
I can't think of any particular instances on Rogue, but I know in the past we've had to do things like chop entire levels from games.
Oh yeah,
at the 11th hour, and that can cause all sorts of trouble for your narrative. So to have someone who can work on the fly, if you and fix up problems like that, and still come away smiling is good.
Yeah, does Gordon smile? I've never noticed it.
No. You would know.
Obviously, one of the key elements of Rogue that had to be kept in there was the biochips.
Yeah.
But in having that, you're introducing three extra characters to your one character.
Oh, yeah, but you don't have to animate them.
You have to do the little wobbly voice bit, though.
Yeah, you have to do the little robot arm coming out of the bag and giving
animating Bagman's arm.
It was worth it. It's so cool.
I still have nightmares about the clip getting in the wrong place.
Yeah, well, I don't, and it's cool.
To explain really what I'm talking about is when Rogue reloads in the game, Bagman hands him the little magazine and it then goes into his hand.
Bagman being the backpack on your back with the biochip in.
So this little arm pops out holding a magazine, which then has to be passed into Rogue's hand, which then has to be put into the gun. And at any point during that process, you can cancel that whole thing. So if you cancel that whole thing whilst Rogue is holding it in his hand, he ends up with a magazine waving around in his hand. If you cancel it while Bagman's got his sticking out, he ends up with that magazine stuck to his hand. Or you end up with a magazine missing, so Gunner doesn't have a magazine in there. So this is all the sort of stuff that poor programmers like me have to deal with when designers like Tim cause us headaches. Oh, yeah, don't worry about the reload process. Just cancel it in the middle when he jumps around.
I don't know what he's talking about. It all works. It's fine. There was never a problem, right?
I think there's a little bit of revisionism going on there.
But it does illustrate, I think for a lot of people out there that don't have, and I don't see how they could have, a clear concept of what goes into game development, but it is worth recognizing that even the smallest detail like that, the amount of work and problem solving and technical wizardry that goes into solving those kind of issues, and not to mention the PTSD that Rich still suffers as a result. It's if you multiply that across an entire game, it's amazing that we ever achieve anything, to be honest.
I've been watching it at the shows and things, watching it with a hawk eye, because I know how fragile it was. And by the end of the original development, we got it to a point where it was, I was so happy with how robust it was, considering what it had to deal with, that sort of system. And I've never seen it fail on the new version, so.
Yeah.
But every time I watch him reload, it just makes me twitch.
with the biochips, was it obvious how to incorporate them into the game at the beginning, or was this a process that took a long time? Because they as the comic strip goes along, like Helm's abilities grow over time.
Yes, quite.
Yeah. I mean, there were lots of obvious possibilities from the outset. I think the challenge, as ever, is always like paring it down to what's really important. And in the case of the biochips, in terms of the gameplay and the structuring of the game, because it ties very closely into the narrative of, you only get the biochips accessible to you once your buddies, who are originally genetic infantrymen in physical form alongside you, like, it's only when they get killed that you then get the biochip from them and put it into your equipment. And gameplay-wise, it meant that, well, okay, we've got these guys that are still alive to start with. When do we progress the story to that point? Do we start the game at the point where they're already dead? Well, we're kind of cutting out some of the most dramatic and emotional parts of the story there. Mm. So we wanted the player to be able to experience that. As it happens, challenging as that is, it also gives us the opportunity to introduce those mechanics sort of gradually. So, you know, you can get them one by one. You can go like, oh, right, now I've got Gunner, and the cool new things my gun can do.
Yeah.
And then you've got like another dramatic moment coming along when Bagman dies and you can get his abilities. Mm. And then Helm comes later and there's some, you know, rescue shenanigans that go on along the way. It's sort of like interweaving all of those things narratively and gameplay wise is well, it's fun.
Yeah, it works really nicely, the way that the narrative progresses and the things are gradually unlocked as your fellows die around you.
Yeah,
and every cloud.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just as well they die in that order as well. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd end up with Helm in your backpack, and it's really confusing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Explaining like why one of them's called Gunnar and one of them's called Helm. I just
the names are pretty on the nose.
Yes, it must be said.
But hey, that is true to the original comics. Yeah.
So, why the decision to redo it? Because one of the things that we get asked about in letters and emails and online is, why aren't there more 2000 AD games? Mm-hmm. And Jason has been on this very podcast, and we recorded him talking at the 40th anniversary convention, explaining why. Mm-hmm. But we have very successful franchises with mm-hmm. Sniper Elite, we've got Strange Brigade coming up soon. Yeah. Why spend time revisiting an old game rather than try and make a new one?
It's a very good question. And I think primarily the answer is because we wanted to.
Fair enough.
To expand on that slightly, it's like, I mean, Rogue Trooper is so well suited to a game. We're huge fans of Rogue Trooper, obviously, and we want to do more Rogue Trooper stuff, but as we've touched on before, making games is hard, you know, and a lengthy, expensive process, and you know, there's a risk involved in terms of like going, are we going to be able to sell this and like, you know, make it worth like all the countless millions that goes into investing in it. And you have to be pragmatic about that. But we have, like, you know, a real gem in Rogue Trooper already there. Like, so much of the work had already been done in terms of, like, we've got a game there. It still stands up, you know. Yes, it's of its time, but it was kind of ahead of its time. We're still very proud of it, and we think it deserves a new audience that may have missed it. So the process of actually going, oh, yeah, why don't we do a Redux thing with this? Let's, like, you know, give it a bit of spit and polish, redo all the art and stuff, you know, which is no small investment in itself. Mm. But the end result is something that we've been able to do at a, you know, a fraction of the development cost of what making a whole new game is. And the end result is that we have a Rogue Trooper game that, even for us and the original players of the original game who've already seen it, they're still excited about playing it again afresh. And there's a whole slew of people out there that haven't played it or seen it at all.
So it's
new to them as well. So it's kind of best of both worlds. And if this proves successful, which fingers crossed it will, then that does open the door to whole new games being more of a realistic possibility.
Yeah, I mean, we've worked with TikTok, another development house, on this project. And they've done the bulk of the grunt work, if you like.
that's a rather pejorative term. And they are a great bunch of extremely talented.
They have done the heavy lifting, shall we say.
They really have. Yeah. They've done a lot of the hard work.
So, I mean, we haven't. One of the reasons we haven't done more 2000 AD stuff in the past is because we've been so busy with other things, as you've alluded to, and having another partner to help us.
Yeah.
But one we didn't have to sort of handhold through every single bit of the process because a game already existed. Was great, and it's been really good working with these guys, apart from when they asked me questions about stuff I did 10 years ago.
Yes, you kind of had to get used to the me sort of sauntering over and going, Rich!
No, I don't remember.
No. So there are bits you remember too much, so you're twitching, and bits you've wiped from your memory.
Mm. I mean, also, say why we did it. I mean, in hindsight, having spoken to various people about the game at trade shows and things, I've met a few... several 2000 AD fans who were big fans of Rogue Trooper but missed it the first time around.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, maybe because they weren't at the right age at that point, or maybe because, you know, perhaps their money was scarce. But also, people who just literally didn't know it existed. It perhaps didn't get the publicity we might have liked back in the day.
No, I mean, we were in a very different place than a Rebellion, where we were doing work for hire for other publishers that were, like, you know, paying us to do work. And far more in control of what we were doing than we would like as an independent. These days, everything we do is under Rebellion's control. We publish ourselves, we promote ourselves, we market ourselves. You know, we fund our own game development. Everything we do is with our own IP. So this time around, we're entirely in control of the promotion of the game, which, you know... we felt it deserved more back then, and it did get missed a little bit. And this time around, well, if people don't realise it's there, then it's entirely our fault. But we've been taking it to the shows and, like, letting people get hands on with it, and we're doing lots of exciting trailers and things for it. So
great to actually get out there and meet the players. Something we just didn't do back in the day at all. I've been recounting to people how essentially we would make the game and then launch it, and that was that. It'd be sort of left, you'd throw it into the void and hope it flew. But now, hearing these experiences of people who did play it, it's really great.
It was weird that EGX at the weekend, like, went over to a Nintendo stand, and it was like playing on the Nintendo Switch there, and there was a group of kids like playing the Rogue Trooper Redux demo on the Switch, which was cool in and of itself. But, like, I'm pretty sure they were all like, it's very possible that, like, none of them had actually been born when the game came out originally, because they were, like, you know, maybe around 10 or something, or possibly younger. And they were all having a really great time with it. But it's like, that's kind of a, you know, a really weird thing, but really, I don't know, inspiring at the same time.
I did several people who said, oh, my dad had this, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so old.
But it's like you've touched on already, that was there an element of, it's nice to go back and fix things that you weren't able to fix.
I mean, one thing particularly was that widescreen TVs were very new back in the day. There was a glaring bug in the original where one of the reticles didn't quite work if you were in a widescreen, running on a widescreen TV.
What's a reticle?
So where you aim the crosshair that you...
All right, okay.
So Gunnar's also aim...
Your pointy shooty bits.
That thing what you look down.
All right, okay.
That didn't work in widescreen. It would swim all over the screen. But we'd had no widescreen TVs in the office, so we had no way of testing it.
Yeah.
They were virtually new in 2005, 6.
You take it for granted now that everything's 16:9, but ratio. Yeah. But it's like, it was all 4:3 back then.
So I was really, really happy to go back and get that fixed, because that was something that was in my code and I knew I'd done, you know, badly.
I'm pretty sure the guys at TikTok are less happy about the amount of work they've had to do to get so much of the user interface and menus working in 16:9. I'm happy to see it working, but I don't think it's been a particularly easy job because so many things were just done without that in mind.
That stuff moves on.
So if you were a player back in 2007 and picked up the game, and you're thinking, well, why should I bother picking up Rotopi Redux? Surely it's the same game. We've already mentioned at least one thing that's been added since. Are there things that you've been able to stick in that bring it a bit more up to date, that give it an extra little bit of gameplay?
I suppose one of the main things to mention is that various bits of the online infrastructure that it used to rely on no longer exist. So if you have the original copy, you cannot play it online on certainly PS2 and on PC, I think, because the network infrastructure that it relies on, those companies no longer exist. So one thing we've done is make it work on all the modern stuff. So it works on Xbox Live, it works on Steam, PSN, and even Switch multiplayer as well, which has been great to see. So you will be able to play multiplayer again. That's one good thing.
We've refactored the controls of the game a little bit, streamlined them, made them a bit more intuitive than they were originally. You had to press a button to like go into cover and stuff and press a button to come out of it again. And now it's just sort of happens automatically when you push against things and pull away. So it all just happens a little bit more fluidly. You know, we talked about the extra sort of aiming mode we put in. And obviously all the graphics, all the artwork in the game, the environments, the characters, the vehicles, the special effects, the lighting has all been completely redone.
Right.
So, it's had a lot more than a bit of spit and polish on it's kind of like a whole new experience, and at the very least you can relive your glorious memories as they actually are. Or as you want them to be, you know, a lot of the time you remember, you know, things looking a certain way, and you go back and you look at the game, you go like, oh wow, this has actually dated.
And Rogue now has his tight pants.
Oh yes, of course it does.
Very important.
Yes, he had baggy combat that we gave him originally.
It was 2007.
It seemed more de rigueur at the time. Whereas in the comics, he's always had skin tight trousers, very kind of sleek, and seemed dated at the time, but don't seem dated now. Right. And we decided
all those youths with their skinny jeans.
I can't pull it off myself, but Rogue Trooper can. And so he's. He's looking very trim in his original classic look. Streamlined for the battlefield. No, you know, flappy bits of fabric around his legs to get caught on bio wire or anything like that.
So yeah, even more faithful to the original.
Yes.
So it's one of the early sort of games that's come onto the Nintendo Switch. Was that an intentional thing when you started doing the Redux, or was that an opportunity that presented itself?
It's a bit of both. We love the Switch. It's a really exciting new platform, and the idea of having like Rogue Trooper in the palm of your hand, being able to be mobile with it, it's just geekily, nerdily thrilling to us. And so like at the outset, we were like, oh, I wonder if we could get it onto the Switch as well. The guys at TikTok they've got a lot of experience with that end of the hardware side of things as well. So they were like, yeah, we can totally do this. And they totally have done. It's great to be out in like the first, it's not even been out a year yet, the Switch, has it? So this will be its first Christmas. So being out in that time period is really exciting as well.
It's also a bit unusual for a Switch game. It's not the Switch was going to have all the sort of main first party Nintendo titles, the Marios and the Zeldas that people are used to, but you don't get many kind of shooters and things like that, a bit more, slightly more grown up demographic, I suppose.
There's more of that coming, but I think we're certainly like one of the first of the that style of gaming, which the Switch doesn't have much of at the moment.
So hoping it'll get some pickup from that. Certainly the trade shows I was at, that people were genuinely surprised and pleased to see that it was coming on Switch.
Obviously, one of the reasons why we've done Redux is because the power of consoles now is exponentially greater than it was 10 years ago. Has that created challenges of its own?
You want the game to look as good as it can. So we obviously try and use the sort of highest resolution assets, the best looking models. But at the end of the day, you also need to keep it running as slick as it was in the original. So there's been a balancing act between bringing out all the bells and whistles and making it look super shiny, but also trying to keep the frame rate up at acceptable levels.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's always got to run smoothly. And obviously, the original game is, by modern standards, visually quite basic. So would naturally run at like a million frames a second or something ridiculous now. But when you start like going, well, actually, we're going to render this at modern resolutions and we're going to throw in all the polygons and the material complexity and the dynamic lighting and shadows and screen space ambient occlusion and depth of field effects.
It's just saying words.
It's like listening to the teacher in Peanuts and I'm wah, 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 wah. I can't understand a word of that.
All of the cool stuff. All of those eye-glazing sounding phrases require computing power.
So,
it's not as simple as going, it just runs really fast now because it's a new console. We've thrown in a bunch of other stuff too that you expect these days. And it still runs really nicely.
Long and short of it, it looks really cool.
It does.
Excellent. Obvious question is, having reduxed Rogue Trooper, do we have any plans to redux its predecessor, Dread versus Death? Obviously, that would be an even bigger leap because that's, what, 2005?
2003.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an open question. An open question. Watch this space, maybe.
A lot of it will depend on what happens with Rogue. You know, when that comes out, people demand it, then maybe we will.
Right, well, thanks very much for coming in, guys. It's been fascinating to hear not just about Rogue Trooper Redux, but about the thinking and the process behind
about
the
my traumas.
Game. Yeah, absolutely.
I hope I didn't baffle you with too much technical jargon.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm normally baffled. I was just enjoying watching Rich twitch in the corner every time something was mentioned. But so the game is out today, October 17th, on Xbox, PS4, PC, and Nintendo Switch. Have I missed anything?
Yeah,
that's good. That's a pretty good roundup of consoles there.
Perfect. That will do nicely. So, Earthlings, make sure you pick up your gun, don your backpack and helm, and head down to the Quartz Zone, hopefully not for a massacre, and pick up a copy of Rogue Trooper Redux from Rebellion. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Read 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the galaxy's greatest comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies from 2000adonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000ADonline and follow on Instagram at Insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down.